Again, thank you all for coming and taking time out of your Sunday to be here. It means a lot, and hopefully we'll all benefit from it. Today we're going to kind of talk about chapter one, and it may be hopefully review for a lot of you guys. And we do have some new leaders, or soon-to-be leaders, apprentices in the room. And so this is for their benefit. Our goal is to finalize this as we go through it with you guys. And then this is what we go through all new leaders as we launch new groups. So it's been said that, you know, hopefully you guys have all heard by now, our goal is to launch 100 GCs in the next 7 years and plant 3 churches. So this is our first baby steps along that process. So we are very excited about that vision and that what this can be a part of. Do you have anything?
Just the goal for all this for the next month and a half or however long it takes us to get through this is to make sure we're clear about our vision for what gospel communities are. A lot of people come with different experiences, different backgrounds, different understandings. So we want to be sure we're on the same page, especially as leaders. So we're all walking together in the same direction with this. So please be open-minded. If you have questions, ask. If something doesn't jive or sound like it's sound the way that you were expecting or thinking, then we can discuss it and talk about it. Ultimately, once we complete this, hopefully around the new year, we're actually going to address the whole church about gospel communities kind of once again. So be expecting that long term as we make the transition. That's one thing.
And this is the best time for Q&A, especially the first week. We want to do a lot of Q&A, so we want to ask whatever questions are on your mind, whatever questions you guys are getting from people in your groups, especially about, why are we having to do the sermon series? Can we do something else? Those kinds of questions. And some other challenging questions. So hopefully we've anticipated some of those. We can talk about some of those questions. But whatever questions you guys have, we want to get them out in the open to make sure we are able to answer those questions as a group consistently and the same way.
And don't feel bad about having questions. Don't feel like your question might be in any way not a good question or lame, or you should know the answer. When Will came, I think we all asked thousands of questions. And because it's one thing to know it on kind of paper, but it's different to kind of live it out. So we hope there's lots of questions today. Today is actually mainly Q&A. We're going to go over chapter one briefly. And then we really want to hear from you guys, and then we'll break up probably into smaller groups, and then we'll ask you guys some questions as well. To get it out of the way up front, there are 5 weeks. We'll meet this week, next week, have a break, meet 2 weeks, have a 2-week break for the Leaders Who Last seminar. If you don't know anything about that, come talk to me, and then meet back 1 week after that. So to this week's homework, and I hate using that word, but what we would like you guys to do is read over chapter one and read chapter two in preparation for next week. So that would be great. So any questions so far? See, questions? Can you hear? No? All right. So chapter one is what is gospel community? And as I said, it may be hopefully becoming very familiar to you guys, but I don't think it's something that we can't hear enough of. It is very good to be ingrained into who we are. Anybody tell me what a gospel community is? What's the plan on doing that? There you go. Just kind of an overview.
People getting together, trying to live life together in a community. Being there practically for each other, but also making the gospel real and applicable within their community, within their greater community, and eventually being those people.
Excellent. Couldn't have said so better myself. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yes. No. And that is actually a very true statement. That is ideal. That is what we all strive for. We get in ruts and we get in situations where we are being family very well, but we're not being missional. We're not inviting other people to be around and to join us. Or the opposite. We care more about other people, and we're not you know, we're not making sure that the people under our care are being taken care of. So over the next 4 weeks today, we want to look at kind of each of these detail, these elements in more detail, encourage one another to where we need to all grow in them, and hopefully get a better understanding on the outside. An element we believe that we take on the identity of Jesus and the gospel. And Jesus, if you look through, you know, he has many, many aspects to him. And so we believe that as people in GCs, we should be missionaries. We should be family to one another. We should be servants where we're serving each other, our church as a larger whole, and our communities. And then we are learners. We never stop learning what it means to be a disciple, and we also make disciples in others through being missionaries. To clarify, this I think helps sometimes figure out what something is by looking at what it is not. A gospel community is not primarily a small group, a Bible study, a support group, a social activist group, or a weekly meeting. And so there's a chart here that kind of contrasts the typical small groups mentality versus the GC mentality. GCs are about a shared life, a network of relationships, and a genuine community of people, where small groups are targeted on a weekly night, a weekly once a week meeting, and that's when you do group. You have GC, and then at 9 when it's over, you don't talk to them for a week. Moving on, the...
Can I get a comment there? So a lot of questions came up with this particular distinction, because, you know, a lot of people have situations where, well, do we have kids? Don't we have kids? You know, you try to... If you have a weekly mindset, you have to accomplish a lot in a week, in a couple hours. And if you have to do everything in those 2 hours, then there's certain things you're just not going to be able to do. You know, you're going to have to try to eliminate distractions. You're going to have to really fine-tune it and focus so that those 2 hours you can try to accomplish all of your objectives. It just doesn't happen. And that's why, you know, in gospel community, when you're meeting either as a group or parts of a group throughout the week, you can accomplish so much more. Having unbelievers come in to the community, you can't do that if you're going to get together for 2 hours. You have to get through all your prayer requests. You have to, you know, do all of those things. It just doesn't happen. And it would be weird for unbelievers to come in and be a part of that. So you got to open it up, and that's why we spread it out throughout the week, and that's what it means to live life together. So that's one of those distinctions there. But I found that thread coming up over and over again. We have this weekly mindset. How do we transition that and open it up into what does it look like to live life throughout the week together? Hopefully, Will's met with pretty much everybody, you think, or do we still have... Almost, yeah. And so I think he's given us some real concrete examples of how that takes place, or how it can take place, at least in other parts of the world, and we want to see how it can take place in our community as well.
So something to keep in mind there, a reasonable metric is if most of your thought and energy and time as a leader is going into the weekly meeting, then that's possibly an indicator that your focus is in the wrong place. So just keep that in the back of your minds.
Not all. This moves into the second point. Small groups are often centered around a Bible study. And obviously, gospel communities are centered on the gospel. But the Bible is read, discussed, and actually lived out. There's a distinction between studying and then applying and working it out. It's easier to work out bouncing conversations and ideas off of others than to go home and just think about it by yourself.
So it's saying it's not centered around a Bible study, but the expectation is that you do accomplish
right.
a certain thing on those nights. I mean, it's kind of both.
The idea is that, and we're going to talk about this in actually week three, gospel as a verb, where it is not just word, which it is, and it needs to be spoken, and it needs to be studied, but it's also a verb where it's lived out. And so there are times throughout the week where you do gather for a study, whether it is sermon notes or if something is needed to be gone over in your group, to take the time and do a study as well. But then the rest of the time, when you're meeting together for lunch or coffee or just hanging out, you know, on Saturdays or at your kids' soccer games together, you're applying the gospel. You're looking at each other's lives and helping each other realize where the life doesn't, you know, isn't where the gospel speaks, and you speak truth into each other's lives. So it's more of a living out and applying than it is.
Yeah, because the end goal is not merely to know the Bible better, but to be more like Christ. And knowing the Bible better is integral to that. So we want to set aside time to say, all right, let's set aside this time so we can specifically learn from God's Word, so we can really digest what we've been learning about on Sundays, all those things. But that shouldn't stop there. And I guess one danger of seeing it as merely simply a Bible study is that, like, that becomes Bible study time. And all of our other time together is distinct from that. So we talk about the Bible in Bible study time. We don't talk about the Bible in fun hangout times, because those two are distinct categories. So we kind of want to break down those categories and say, our whole lives should be shaped by the Scriptures. So, you know, when I meet up with Mikey for a meal this week, we're probably going to talk about Song of Solomon, singleness. Even though we already talked about it, well, even though the rest of the GC right now is talking about it. You know, so breaking down those categories.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And it sounds like to me then there's like this concept of a really structured time where it's like promoted by the churches, GC meets.
Typically your weekly meeting night.
Right, but then really is there this concept that the whole group is meeting throughout the week, or is it like more organic than that, like a couple of couples over here and maybe these two families over there?
Much more organic, dynamic, flowing. It may be two people, it could be a few of the ladies, could be a few of the guys, it could be the whole group getting together for a potluck, so it could look like anything, really, but the point is that's where we're discipled, that's where we're encouraged, that's where we're exhorted, that's where we're challenged, you know, that's where we're corrected, those kinds of things. So in whatever context, whatever shape that takes, it takes place in the GC in one form or another. And so, you know, we went for a bike ride, three guys from our GC on Saturday morning, and we were able to talk about what happened, you know, when we met on Thursday night, and we were able to encourage one another, you know. So it could be anything, really. Yeah.
And as leaders, part of your job is to help, would be helping shepherd people towards that. So, for example, in my GC in England, sometimes we notice, like, wow, we don't pray together very much. And if we're believers, if prayer is all that we know it really is, and we should be a people who pray. So for a time, for like a 2-month period of time, we set up a weekly prayer breakfast where folks who, you know, could make it before work could come and pray together. The point was that would hopefully kickstart stuff where now we pray together just because we're together. Now when we come together to meet, we pray before a meal, but it's not just thank God for this food. It's all right, does anyone have anything we can pray about also? Because praying is a way of life. So we needed structure because we weren't doing it. But then, you know, we didn't want people to become reliant on the structure and say, we only pray during prayer time. And as a leader, kind of managing that structure versus the organic is difficult, but that's a part of it.
And it really opens it up to feeling like, oh, we can't do anything because three people are working or three people are busy. It is much easier to, you know, even throw the net out there, anybody can come and for a movie night or whatever. So it makes it, part of that makes it much easier because it is. And then when you do have to miss, it's not like you have to go another week before seeing each other. It's not a big deal. Or, you know, if you guys just need time as married couples to be at home by yourself, you can say, you know what, not tonight, you know, catch you this weekend or something. And it allows for a lot more authentic, organic times.
And I think it helps to meet the needs of the individuals because everybody's at a different place, and so we all have different needs, you know, and so to minister to one or two people with specific needs, you know, could happen in a smaller group of two or three. And so it just allows us to better minister to one another. We don't have to wait to all be together at one time.
And that's great. As an example, in our GC, Will is taking the time weekly, I believe you guys are meeting, to meet with a guy who's a fairly new believer, if he is. And they're going through a book and outside of the group. And I tell you, when we meet, and he now shares, I mean, there's just a huge difference in the way he responds to questions and the way he's thinking about things. And we couldn't quite get there as a group. And so that's a good opportunity. And our goal with the new believers packet we've done is to do something like that, where you can take people who are new and do something with them, whether it's lunch, whether it's just getting together, having them over for dinner, or... and you notice that we've said this a lot, lunch, dinner, food, something. And if you look at Jesus, especially through the book of Luke, Jesus is always at somebody's table. He's always sharing a meal with people, and including non-believers as well. So it's just something that you're going to do anyways. It's a good time, good opportunity to include others, because they also are going to be doing it.
Good question.
Very good question. Next one, small groups are often insular and focused on the mutual care of members, as opposed to pastoral care is obviously a feature of gospel communities, but there are also groups that have a strong sense of mission. They can articulate their vision for mission and identify specific people that they are trying to reach. So obviously, I was talking to Pat, I believe, this week, and he goes, you know, we want to start doing something, but we feel like we should start doing something with people within the church. And joking, I was joking with him, and I go, or he said, within, you know, taking care of each other, and I go, because you haven't been, I thought it was funny. And that's not it at all, but to be out there doing something and serving other people. And there is a tension between member care of who is in your GC and being on mission and meeting everybody's needs, because we are finite people. We have limited resources. We have limited time, and there's no way around that, except what we can do is make sure that we're being good stewards of the time and figuring out what needs to be done, and just making sure that it's not leaning one side or another all the time, because there are times where that happens.
This is a big area for people that come from a history of doing small groups, where the focus is pretty much on the group. It's where we go to minister to one another, and the focus is kind of small. And so this is really where we want to open that up and start looking outward as a group. And so I think this is probably one of the areas where we're all going to have the biggest stretch. I think it's one of the biggest areas in our group. You know, what is going to be our missional focus? And obviously we all have different giftings and different abilities and different desires that God has placed on us. Some of us are really good at talking to non-believers and evangelism. Others, they're prayer warriors, you know, and they just want to pray for the needs of the body. And so how, as a group, do you bring all of that together? And there's a place for everybody and everyone's gifting in doing that, in ministering to the body here, to the body at large, as well as to reaching out to unbelievers. And so this is a part of what we should be doing as a gospel community.
Last one in the grid. Small groups are normally managed centrally by the church leadership, whereas gospel communities are given a mandate to reproduce organically and understand that they are the church. And this is very important to us. We really believe that as GCs, you know, have mission, that this is the ministry, quote unquote, of the church. This is...
Archbishop Barton wins.
Go for it.
Very
angry. No, it's you know, we want to... Sorry, it came back to me. We want to see, you know, we want to... Yeah, dang it. Wait, what? We want GCs to be the church, to GC leaders being basically shepherds of small churches, which we'll talk about more next week. And then where those are reaching out. I had a guy this week go, and I'll get back to you, I promise.
Sure.
Go, you know, I want, how about I want to do a ministry for, prison ministry. And I go, I kind of threw it back at him, like, okay, great. Are you in a GC? Yeah, kind of. And I'm like, good. Let's talk to your GC about maybe doing something like that, because that is where that's going to happen. We want our ministries to kind of slimline and our gospel communities to be where things like that happen.
Okay, so we're an officially sanctioned group of leaders. We have all of our people. So by that, we naturally represent the church.
Yes.
Now, to these last two points, we start doing kind of an event-based ministry. We want to put something on. We want to have a continuing thing that is the focus of our GC, and that's our ministry to the church or to the community. How much buy-in needs to come in from the church leadership on that sort of thing? Because there's a potential to get way out of hand if people are just going off and say, oh, we represent Element Church, and all of a sudden we're not representing Element Church the way we're supposed to.
Right.
Because we have our core beliefs and so forth.
Right.
So
yeah, I think any idea that a GC has should be run through, first of all, their coach, and then through the eldership as well, just to make sure that we're all aware, number one, and that if there's questions or if there's support or help, then, you know, we have a larger pool that we can pull from. Maybe there's some cross-GC type support that can take place as well. So whatever missional focus you want to adopt should be discussed with your coach first, and then if need be, with the pastor.
I'm just hoping the feedback will be frank. Like, no, that's not what we're going to do. You know, I mean, no hurt feelings.
I think it would only be no if there was a good reason for it. You know, there's been quite a few different ideas out there, and frankly, you know, the only bad idea, I think, would be if it was really, you know, doing harm or really detracting from the vision of the kingdom.
Or duplicating effort. Detracting from somebody else's.
No, but we're duplicating effort all the time. We're all supposed to be on the same mission, ultimately.
That's true.
How we do it and how we go about it may look different. You know? So, but yeah, there could be some redundancy there.
But there's some interpersonal things that have to be considered, right, with GC coaches.
But it's a good question, and the point is that it should be communicated. It should be communicated to your coach and to the leadership. And then if there's any issue there, then it would be addressed.
Did you make your shirt?
No, I didn't.
I'm sitting here going, it's funny. It says, "World's greatest, your mom's new boyfriend."
Completely untrue.
One aspect of this bullet, though, is that you know, we should be thinking in terms of growing, in terms of reproducing our GCs. So as the GCs grow larger, you know, be thinking long term, be thinking more than just the life of these, you know, 12 people, these 15 people. So be thinking, all right, you know, is there anyone who is maybe would be a good future GC leader? Are there people where we could perhaps split off and start two different GCs? Be thinking along those lines early so that it doesn't get to the point where after being together for a year and a half, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, guys, by the way, in 2 weeks we're going to split. Because that's painful. But, you know, if all along we know, like, the gospel's going out, and the gospel's growing, the gospel's spreading. We see Paul, like, planting churches, and then when he leaves, people love him so much they're crying. You know, all the leaders are in tears, and yet he leaves because the gospel's so important. And we want our folks to have that mindset. Tears when people leave, that's a good thing. But, you know, depending on why that's happening. So hopefully that's just a part. Like, some churches will say they want that part of their DNA. It's just part of who that church is that they're a church who plants more churches, or a GC who plants more GCs. How that happens, what it looks like, will probably change on the situation. It may be your GC just splits in half, naturally. It may be that, you know, there's 3 people from this GC and 6 people from this GC who could possibly join up together. But keep that in the back of your minds.
So for the people that are here as the GC apprentice, what does that look like going forward if we're not quite at the stage where we want or feel called to break off quite yet? What is our role in our current GC now?
Shared leadership. We definitely would love this opportunity for your leaders and for you guys to share responsibility. So, for example, right now outside this door, Our apprentices are, which we'll go through this with them separately, are actually running our study time. Sounds like they're having fun. And that hopefully relieves pressure off of the leader and allows you guys to co-lead for a time being.
Gain experience.
Yep.
Deal with issues. Yeah. Any other questions? No? Good stuff. Do you feel like your question was answered?
I just want to make sure that we had top cover at the same time approval.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important.
And this, too, hopefully, as we go from this point forward, this will be a good opportunity for you guys to go through new apprentices with and stuff. So that's also kind of a goal for that. I'm going to fly through this next 8 points. So we encourage you to ask questions and then read through kind of in more detail later. Our hopes for gospel communities are as follows. First one is to have a clearly defined mission. Mission is, as we'll get to in the last week, central to the church. That a lot of times we need to focus on that one more because it is not natural. It's not what we're used to doing, and we need to be encouraging and living that out as a priority. So articulate that you can what you're field called to reach others, call others to that mission with you. I think is very vital, especially, and I will also say this, especially right now as we are still in kind of transition from small group to GC, there may be people in your GC now that you guys are calling to mission and they are just not called to that, but they're called to someplace else. That's, we encourage you, not that anybody who raises objections should just be moved around. That's not what we're saying. Because there are times when not everybody feels 100% about a mission, but can still get on board, still be behind. And there are certain times where, they may be called, Will's going to be starting a GC focused on the base, Vandenberg, and start moving out in that direction. There might be somebody in your GC who that may actually be more of a better fit, and so moving around like that may be beneficial for all, as hard as it may be.
Question. If we're pulling,
if they want.
If we're pulling unbelievers into the group and at the same time have this extremely missional focus, how does that kind of balance? Because we want them to get worked up thinking that, oh, okay, if I'm doing all this good work, then I'm saved. Or, is that part, I don't know if anybody here has experience with that, but how do you kind of bring somebody along in the gospel and actually to the point of accepting Christ, not just kind of getting sucked up in, hey, I'm doing a good Christian thing kind of thing?
Go ahead, Will, you can answer that one.
non-Christians, non-believers in your group are your mission. Like, that's what we want to see, is non-believers more and more involved in their lives so that they can see the gospel looks like today. And then, in addition to just seeing it, they need to hear the gospel, though, because if they see our lives and, they can make the mistake that, good lives, win favor with God, whatever, the legalism. And what we want to say is, we serve because we have been served. So, we long to see people come to Christ for this reason. We're going to serve these elderly folks for this reason, because we want to express Jesus' love for them. We want them ultimately to come into a personal relationship with Jesus. You can tell that to your believers in your group, and the more you say that, the more often that the gospel is talked about within your GC, it just becomes something natural to talk about, and then it becomes natural to talk about it with other people, and it becomes natural to talk about it with non-believers in your group, so that's awesome. Like, them involved in serving will often highlight the distinction. Okay, you guys are serving for a very different purpose than the reason I'm serving. What is that distinction? There's something there that I don't have, I don't know about. So that's a really cool opportunity, but it takes words. It takes words.
If you are nearby Cousin Possible Community Weekly, we do, I know, we try to get together for barbecues or go out and do something, or whether it be the ladies getting together for a night or the guys going out and doing something. I'm having trouble with trying to find a way to integrate non-believers into our weekly meetings, and how do you suggest going about that? Because especially with our group, when we have a bunch of young married people, both just on Solomon, it's amazing for us. And it's weird trying to figure out how to invite a non-believer or someone else into that. I felt like it would take away from our openness as a group. How do we do that and still keep that core values without letting ourselves get, you know, sucked into, and into not being open, not being with each other?
Well, that's kind of what I was touching on before. You know, if you're trying to accomplish all of that on your weekly meeting night, it doesn't fit very well. It's kind of an obstacle, and you have that tension there. And so you have to find other opportunities and create other spaces for doing that. And so the space for doing that may be your barbecue time, where you're not talking about
the
Song of Solomon.
But or I feel like sometimes we're encouraged to have these people on our weekly nights too. Are we supposed to kind of keep that separate in a way so we can?
I think it depends. It depends on the person that you're trying to reach or the people you're trying to reach,
okay,
and where they're at. There's no formula here.
Okay.
It really depends on the circumstance. If they can come to your weekly meeting and they're interested in that and it wouldn't be weird for them, by all means, you know,
okay,
let them come. If it would be awkward and weird, you know, whatever. If all they can handle is by getting together with a few of the people in the GC for dinner, invite them over for dinner, you know, whatever it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if they are coming along and that does change the dynamic, then, you know, get together with your GC for lunch on a Sunday and, or, you know, invite a few people over where you can have that complete openness and honesty, you know, in a group of two and three. And then if the dynamic changes on Tuesday night or on Wednesday night or what you talk about in the barbecue, then so be it. It doesn't all have to, all the boxes don't have to be checked on that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's funny, I have the same confusion, because I think the people of the group that you already have a comfortable feeling with and where they are open and willing to pray and share what's going on in their personal lives. And I don't quite understand how to, if you've got a new believer or just someone that's new to the group, how you say, okay, we're going to meet at this time so that those of us that are intimate and open and want to talk about this, we can do that, but we don't want this person to know this, so we can get together and do that and not feel awkward. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm kind of struggling with the gospel community. I understand what you're saying, and I believe it, but that's the part that I run into, is that I don't know how you deal with it. Because I don't want to feel like I'm being...
You're an open group or a closed group.
Right.
And we shouldn't do that.
I think the group, I would say that the group is always open. The question you should ask is what is helpful and what would really be most beneficial? You know, are they willing to be ministered to at that level, and can they, does it make sense or does it make them comfortable? Would it put them off? You know, I would also say that if your group has the a missional focus and the mission mentality, then you're going to be trying to create, again, those spaces where people in other situations and other areas of life would maybe feel comfortable. So, and you look at your immediate connections and relationships, whether it be with work or neighbors or whatever it might be, and see, okay, well, what would be a comfortable setting for these few neighbors to come over and just get introduced to our GC, just to get to know who they are.
Well, I think
just
the question, though, isn't are they going to be comfortable? It's, is everybody else going to be comfortable?
It goes back to your group being on the same page and having a missional focus, knowing that that's the reason, one of the key reasons why we're here. Part of it is, again, ministering to one another,
mm-hmm,
and meeting, edifying the body, meeting the needs of one another. And that can happen in different forms. It doesn't always have to happen on that one night.
Right.
And again, this is what we're used to. We come from a structure where a small group meets on this night for 2 hours. You got to do it all. And if we can kind of get away from that mentality and find and realize that it can happen in other ways too. You know, I can call up somebody in the group or a few people in the group and talk about it. It can look a number of different ways. So these things are not mutually exclusive. You know, so we're there's so many opportunities to meet the needs of the body as well as reach out in mission if we are all on the same page on the goal, the objective.
Right.
We can find ways to do it. That's the trick, though. How do you do it in your unique situation with the people that you have, bringing them to a place where they can see things that way? And so I don't think there's one specific formula. I think it's going to look different in every case if we all have the same goal and objective. We just have to find our unique way of getting there.
I think that's the problem I was having at the end of the night, and it just became clear right now, honestly, is when we started calling by gospel communities, and this is what we want gospel communities to do, I was thinking of it as very much a, this is what we want you to do on this 2 nights, in these 2 hours. And I was having a hard time wrapping my head around that, but I think now it makes sense better because if I can still feel like, I mean, I feel like our Tuesday nights, depending on what it is, it needs to be intimate for us, and it needs to be very, we need to be able to feel open, not like we have somebody here that may go out and call their friends this, or, you know, we need to be able to be comfortable with each other.
Right.
And I think, you know, just like our barbecues, or going out and playing disc golf, or whatever it is we're doing, we're constantly out there living lives together in public fitness too.
I definitely think the idea is as we talk about gospel community, we're talking about believers who are sharing their life, mm-hmm. not about any one particular thing, because as a whole, it is all of them compounded. But what my one thing that we need to be a little careful of, I think, though, is Paul says in
1 Corinthians 9:12.
These guys are so connected, they read each other's mind.
God, he gave him the sign with the pen.
That's awesome. He knows when. Hey, anybody have it? I don't want to paraphrase. I want to, let's see what it is.
So this is getting towards, as leaders, needing to pastor people towards discipleship. Part of that is pastoring people towards welcoming new folks, helping the new folks be a part, helping the new folks learn to share life, which isn't going to happen overnight. And let's see, 9:12. So Paul's talking about his he had all these rights as an apostle, but he didn't claim them when he was with the Corinthians. For as others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. And so, you know, that was his quote to the Corinthians was, we would put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. We want to shepherd our people to the point where they would be willing to say that. You know, we're willing to go outside of our comfort zone where we might not have the cozy, intimate Tuesday night we're used to. Maybe that changes to, you know, a couple of you coming over for dinner on Wednesday and talking about those issues. And then inviting the new person over for dinner on Thursday and talking about different issues. And so it's not, okay, we're super special, we meet here, and you're excluded, but we're going to meet up, you know, doing different things, playing Frisbee, eating dinner, going to a coffee, stopping by folks' house after work. And in all of that, by the end, you know, yeah, we cover a lot of bases. We invite the new person slowly, you know, into this is what life together looks like. This is what sharing. This is why it's good to be open and honest. This is why we need to build this trust over time. And with the others, we're saying, okay, you know, how can we help him? How can we bring them along?
That's just kind of an outsider perspective and kind of a newbie in the RGC. Also, don't be too hard on yourself, and it's not really this complicated, because we had been going to this church for 2 years before we were introduced to the idea by Mikey to get involved with the GC, and I just kind of hid behind Brandon, and I was just Brandon's wife, and I was good in that role, and we weren't trying to branch out and make friends, and I was really not into the idea of going to a GC, because I'm like, I haven't connected with any of these people. And before I even ever went to a meeting, the girls invited me out to meet them before even going to the meeting. So something that small that got me so plugged in and so comfortable instantly as the newbie, as the outsider, it's really not as intimidating as it may seem. And people who are on the outside
are just looking for any sort of in. That are, they're just looking for a coffee date. They're just looking for, hey, do you want to just come watch a movie at my house? Or just something like that to plug in. It doesn't have to be some major, here, they didn't instantly say, come to my GC and we're going to harp on what sex should look like in your marriage. So that would have been a little intimidating. Yeah, they at least took me out to have a drink first.
That's good. Very good. Yeah. And so I know that's a difficult thing, and we can talk about it more, you know, if we need to.
And we're working on the same thing too, but I think the main thing is to, you know, you may not even have anyone in mind yet, but if you have someone in mind that you're wanting to take that step, is just to know that person. And Eric kind of said it too, but know that person, know what they can handle. So someone might be able to be total non-believer but be totally be okay with just coming to your group and just kind of sitting there. But it may take like 5 meetings of let's go play frisbee, let's go barbecue, let's do this. Oh, and by the way, we're doing this if you want to come or study in this. You know what I mean? So it's not, it might be 5 steps for one person and just come on to our group the next time. You know what I mean? For our actual Bible study and we're focusing on something certain. But we're working through it too.
And there might be, you know, as people in RGCs are inviting people and trying to do things, it may be that somebody may come to something and never return. It might be that you see lots of people only once. Better than nothing. Better than, you know, it's better. It'll be that next one that stays, that maybe all of them were, and you don't know what seeds were planted.
And
so
people lose your group because they are uncomfortable with having people there that they don't necessarily like. But I would say the ultimate goal would be
Paul says, I love them so much, and I only shared the word, I shared my life as well. And I think that that's every aspect. And if we see that gospel communities isn't just a one night, it is a collective shared life on mission, then I think that starts to become easier in principle. Still hard to do, still hard to achieve it. Absolutely.
I think Will made this point in his talk before, but it's probably worth repeating here that these are not covert operations also. You know, this is something we're living our life openly. We're just, you know, giving them as much as they can handle, but it's not like we're, you know, coming to them out of false pretenses or anything like that and then springing the gospel on.
Next one's led by shared leadership. This is within the GC, like we were talking about earlier, sharing the responsibilities, the load. There's tri-perspective, blah, blah, blah. It's the prophet, priest, king, if you've heard of that at all. If not, come to Leaders Who Last. You'll actually hear more about it, so we're not going to talk about it now. But there is, you know, not just one type of leader. There's, you know, several types of leaders, and some leaders are good at management. Some leaders are good at vision. Some leaders are good at mutual member care, and so having kind of that perspective in the leadership of the GC is very, very good, because then nothing is, you know, gets overlooked as easily. Third one, if you have questions, please jump in. Be all encompassing. Again, going back to the idea of sharing entire lives, GCs are open, available, and inviting to everyone. This is a good point that I want to make. We want GCs to be diverse. The gospel is for everybody, and that is a diverse group of people. It's not just, and so I got to a point, I was feeling convicted about this, and we decided to change this. My first kind of take on GC, I don't know, instance of GC, was an unmarried guys group. And I think it was very good. We built a lot of good relationships. There were people who I think came because that was very inviting to them, but we were missing a lot. And I think God has graciously blessed us after we've come out of that with people and perspectives. And I'm dealing with a guy week one out of kind of doing this transition. There's a guy who started coming week one of Song of Solomon. Him and his wife were going through just a really bad time, really, really bad marriage. And I'm feeling like, oh my, oh my God, what are you doing to me? Like, you know, I went through guys who I can, you know, kind of tell them to deal with certain issues, and to this, and this guy's asking me honest, direct questions and saying, you know, stuff about his sex life that I blew me out of the water, but that's amazing. And then other people came in, and Paul and Manette have been a very great at be able to deal with those, because obviously they're married.
So if your DC was set up on a premise of having somebody come, how do you bring in diversity to that? Because anybody that doesn't fit that mold is going to feel weird.
I openly... Sure. I think I openly confessed and said that I was feeling called to diversify. I don't think we had anybody leave, but I do think a couple people actually around the same time actually felt, right before I kind of repented and said, you know, I'm sorry for this, because I've been depriving you guys of a lot of maturity and wisdom that I just cannot provide. Two of them had already decided to switch to a GC that was more diverse. So I think that if you approach it as this is the reason why it's beneficial, then I think that they'll be on board. And then when bringing new people in, there's ways to do it.
I think we have to be careful not to put people in a box. You know, this is a good example, because we have a young married group. To say that all young that if you're not young married, you wouldn't feel comfortable there is not necessarily true. I'm sure there's some that wouldn't feel comfortable there, but there are probably others who would feel really comfortable there. You know, there was a young single gal who came to church one night, and she's all, you know, I really want to be part of a group where there's all ages, you know, grandparents. I mean, she was looking for diversity. First thing we would have done, probably, in the old mindset, is say, let's find a young college group, plug her in there. That's the first thing we would have done, you know. But she came out and said, this is what I prefer. I just love having every generation, you know. So.
Because some of these GCs were set back when.
We carry baggage on this, yeah.
Yeah, like with our group, we've got these couples that have been spending the last year and a half together. And it's like, I know for certain there's one couple in particular that would feel really awkward to have somebody join into a group because they're so comfortable that
which is not necessarily a good time, right?
And because they're so tight, I feel like say a single mom.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, she's got the kids, so she can relate on that level, but she doesn't have the husband to support her.
Right.
So she doesn't have that way to relate, and she might feel out of place, might feel unwelcome because she can't.
Right.
So
two thoughts. One is it's a discipleship issue of the people who are in your group, and it's a good opportunity to cast vision and get them on the same page. Time out. We're also releasing a podcast starting next week or so that we want a Q&A for you guys to come in, that everybody, because what we loved about today was that everybody's in the same room. We're all gaining from it. From this point on, you know, we want to do this Q&A podcast. And that was actually one of our first questions that we answered or tried to answer. But for the single mom, I would say that you guys just have to be really intentional. Make sure that the guys help her, you know, and so that she sees that. Like, I know with there's a lady in your group who being recorded, so I don't want to say too much. I'll cut it out. That husband was out of town working, and you guys went over and took care of a car or something for her. And I think it's that type of stuff where, as soon as you do that for a single woman with a kid, she's going to feel welcome. She really is. And there's always an opportunity to gospel her in one way or another, and to serve her. And or him or whatever. And I think that if you do something like that, and you reach out more than just inviting, most people, not everybody, most people will feel connected. And, you know, there are times when you're you're on mission, you're inviting people, and maybe your group just isn't the right fit, they just do not feel comfortable, that maybe another group would, and that's okay too. But I think most people will.
Well, we just had a gal leave our group to come to your group.
Yes.
With her boyfriend. It was more for him. Mm. It wasn't that she was uncomfortable, but she felt that it would be an easier fit for him to meet in the group that, in the setting that you have, as opposed to the setting that, in the life that we're doing. So it's okay. It's about them. Mm. It's not...
As long as we're not pandering to every whim, because then they'll never be happy. There's
right.
a point where it's like, okay, this is, you need to commit to this
right.
and be on board. Just so you all know, and I'm totally diverging, I'm sorry, I'll get through these ones as quickly as I can. RGC, we're calling it Primer, we are meeting Sunday afternoons so that anybody can come and get a feel for gospel communities, get connected, and over the next time frame, as we get to know them, we'll either spin groups off of us or place them into other groups.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you guys to all be aware that that's that. If somebody, you know, you're talking to somebody on Sunday morning, they can only meet Sundays, you know, this is a GC that is always open. We're meeting here for our time being so that anybody can just walk in and get connected.
So I don't know if you feel like your question got answered satisfactorily, but obviously it's something that takes time. You need to try to cast that vision so that people realize that, you know, this is the mission that we should be on. We should be open and provide an opportunity for people of maybe they don't have the same affinity that we do, but if they're comfortable coming in, you know, we should be open enough to allow them to come in. So it takes time, you know, and prayer.
Number four, in submission to Element Christian Church's coaches and overseeing pastors, which would include oversight, coaching, connection, and ongoing development tools and resources. Just like this, we don't want to leave you guys out there alone. If there's anything you ever want to talk to, we are here for you. Number five, they would be an accurate and effective display and declaration of the gospel to a people and culture that needs to experience the good news of Jesus Christ. This is hard. Mistakes are going to be made. One thing I think that's very important is for us as leaders to repent of those mistakes openly, to see, so that members see that this is what we're trying to do and we are not Jesus. So we will not get it right. Jump in if you have anything. Number six, they will live out the reality of being the church together as they walk through life together and live on mission together. I think we've discussed that. Number seven, they would raise up indigenous leaders who would birth new GCs in a specific area or people group with that as being identified mission. We definitely want you guys to be looking out for people who could be leaders so that they can go through training, that they can, even if they don't become GC leaders, be identified and kind of, what's the word? Equipped, poured into, so that we can raise up new leaders.
A challenge with GCs is that it places a bigger burden on leaders. It requires a lot more leaders. And so, you know, we want to be looking for people. We want to be equipping people. We don't want people to be, you know, to feel unreasonably compelled into it or anything like that. But so for some people, it might be encouraging them when I was first asked to be a GC leader, it wasn't on my radar at all. I wasn't thinking about it at all. I was thinking maybe long term, ultimately, I'd be involved in church leadership. But I didn't think I was ready at any point. But then my leader came up alongside me and said, hey, me and my wife would like to go to Australia to help this church plant, you know. So over the next 6 months, do you want to try to learn, grow as much as you can? So he planted the seed in my head, and then from there I saw it very much as a calling in a sense of what I was there for. So we don't want to force people into leadership by any means, because it is a much bigger responsibility than just facilitating a Bible study. But at the same time, if we're going to be planting new GCs, then we're going to be needing new leaders regularly. So it's a challenge. It's a very real challenge.
And part of our role as leaders are to help the members of the group identify their gifts and their callings and to help them grow in that capacity. And that's, they should be exercising those gifts in the group. And there will be leaders, potential leaders in your group. That's just the way it's going to be. Identifying them, giving them an opportunity, coaching them, that's all a part of the process as well. As well as those gifted in other areas, you know, encouraging them in their gifts and allowing them to exercise those gifts. And so identifying leaders is just a part of that.
Last one, this, all leaders would develop, I don't know what this is supposed to say.
Ultimately, we want new churches to be planted,
right.
Not just new GCs to be planted, with, you know, a full-fledged elder staff.
Right. So there's
take out all.
Yes, this would lead to development. Yeah, right. So like I said, we want to plant 3 churches, 100 plus gospel communities. An idea behind that is as GCs are formed and out in the city, that then they can kind of bunch up and be part of the planting team that plants in North Santa Maria, out on base or in Lompoc or something like that. So as we start to see what, you know, God's calling you to on mission, then we can look for be strategic in some of those opportunities. Then really we want to know that gospel communities are formed for and by the gospel. We are believers, we are saved because of Jesus Christ, what he has done, and we are formed for the gospel, to live it out, to be on mission with each other. And I like Tim Chester's quote, kind of at the end, is, church is not an event, it's a community. Mission is not an event, it is a lifestyle, and we are called to an ordinary life with gospel intentionality. And that's, it takes time, it takes being intentional, but that's, I think that's very cool. And he is the one, Christ is the one who does empower us. The Bible says Christ is building his church, and we gotta trust that. We gotta know that God is in sovereign and power, and he equips us to do that. So he equips everybody. You guys. Questions or anything else?
So we've got some good questions. Any others before we break up?
So are we going to do these questions as small group?
Yeah, these will be for small group. And then next page is resources. This is some that we've identified to go along with each chapter. Links to all these are on our website, aramut.org/gccoaching. You don't feel like you have to do all of them, but as we ask questions, we may identify ones that we'd like you to do. But definitely, at the end of each chapter, there is a list of different things.
So the way this is going to be structured a little bit is the questions are supposed to ultimately help us individually wrestle with, okay, where do we feel we're comfortable with this? Where do we feel we still need to grow in these areas? And all those things. The resources are then things where we can say, okay, you know, I'm feeling convicted that I really need to wrap my head around this whole thing of mission. I don't even know how to begin with evangelism. It scares me to death. Okay, well, if we're going to be leaders, if we're going to take this seriously, then let's learn about evangelism. Let's find a good book about evangelism and study it. Or let's find someone in the church who is gifted that way and, you know, commit to sitting down with them over coffee 2 or 3 times and talking about it and saying, okay, this is where we're at. This is where we want to be. How are we going to get there? Let's not mess around with this. Let's not fool around with this. So at the end, that's where we're going to break into coaches groups where GC leaders and apprentices under that coach can kind of talk on a smaller scale, really wrestle with, okay, do I get this? Am I on board with this? Does this scare me? Is this awesome? Is this, you know, resonating with what I've already learned? And then, okay, what are we going to do about it? What are the next steps? So the next week we can meet back together and say, okay, how are we doing on those previous steps? And now that we're looking at this chapter, what are our next steps for this chapter? And we want people to be... Yeah, to be taking steps, to be saying, all right, we need to grow in this area. Let's do it. Let's get serious about it.
Okay.
So please read chapter 1 again and chapter 2 for next week. and Eric will be talking about that next week.